My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Everyone, and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I am joined, as always, by my very good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, what's up?
Not much at all. I know you're full of the 5G. You got some 5G in you. I bought some EMF blockers down at my local vape shop. They're all protected.
Yes, I was vaccinated less than 30 minutes before we started recording this episode. So if I start falling apart at the end and I have takes you don't agree with, blame it on the vaccine.
Yep, that's little microchips making them go bleep bloop.
Making me go, Rossi is booking really great shows all over the place.
Bleep bloop, I love Hatman.
Draws, give me time limit draws. Who cares about wins and losses? It's about draws.
You know, really, everyone should just be equal in wrestling.
Yeah, I don't like to have someone look stronger than other people. You know. Everyone should win a title once in their career because they've worked very hard.
They've earned it.
Yeah, they've earned it and they deserve it.
You deserve it. And also, Saya should bring back the Phoenix Splash.
Yeah, stop the heel stuff.
Yeah.
Let's just go back to the babyface.
It's not working.
To the sort of no character babyface. I think that was the sweet spot of Joshi Pro Wrestling.
Yeah.
No, just kidding. We don't think any of that stuff. but we've got some Joshi to get to. But before we do, we got to do the plugs. Follow us on Blue Sky at J-Bomb Audio. You can follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly. You can follow me at Tay Mambo. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that podcast app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to this very show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. Sorry, I got distracted by a notification on my computer that the seminal horror movie Candyman is coming back to theaters for one night only on October 15th at AMC Theaters.
Candyman has your social security number on the dark web.
So Candyman, the movie that came out 30 years ago, you're welcome for the free plug on this show.
Not Candyman, the remake.
I don't know, actually. Hold on. Can I find my notifications? How do I do this? See Candyman back on the big screen 10/15 for one night only. Okay, it also came on my phone, so let me click on it on my phone.
We've said name so many times, he's coming to kill us.
Hold on.
Candyman doesn't work like Beetlejuice. You have to like specifically say
You have to look in the mirror.
Okay, yeah, we're fine.
Yeah. Okay, it doesn't say which one it is, but it's the one that's 1 hour and 39 minutes long.
That's definitely the original. They don't make movies that short anymore.
I was going to say, that would be Candyman 1992, not Candyman 2021, which is shorter.
What?
Which is 1 hour and 31 minutes long.
Wild. Okay.
Yeah. So take that. This is not a movie expertise podcast, as we've shown right now. Anyway, Candyman is a very good film. Enjoyable film, and you can see it at AMC Theaters on October 15th.
What's worse, us looking at Cage Match and just reading things, or us looking at IMDb and just reading things?
Oh, no, I wasn't looking at IMDb. I was just Googling.
Ah.
I just Googled Candyman 1992. 79% on Rotten Tomatoes. Just FYI.
All right. Good to know.
Anyway, why are we talking about all this stupid stuff? Well, it's because we don't have that much Joshi to talk about. At least Joshi that happened in the last 2 weeks. We got a lot of upcoming shows, but it was a quiet 2 weeks of Joshi. We've gotten beyond the hot summer action of all these tournaments. And we've moved into the cool autumn of less things happening, I guess, before we get to the tag tournaments that plague us for the last end of the year.
Oh man.
Sorry. But what has been happening in Stardom? They had the historic crossover show, which featured Hanako defending the Future of Stardom title successfully for the first time, defeating Aya Sakura in 13 minutes and 1 second. Probably the biggest news of the Joshi weeks was Seri appearing in the United States of America. And of course, Kelly, when you have a top 10 wrestler in the world, regardless of gender, and they're coming in, where do you put them?
Well, you want to put them somewhere you can capitalize on, like, you want to be able to make some money off of them. So what you're going to do is you're going to take them and put them on the show that you use as dark matches before you're at TV. So then people have to get a subscription to the website where you show that show on, and then you're going to really 5D chess them. You're going to upload that match on YouTube for free.
Yeah. I'm so over this. I'm like, you know, I don't watch AEW as much as I used to anymore. You know, I still sort of watch the pay-per-views. I do enjoy them. There is a growing sense from me of this company does not know ball. to use a modern phrase.
It's really weird.
It's a thing where I think they had a benefit four or five, six years ago when they started. They were coming into a landscape that was pretty pristine. Like, companies had been allowed to make stars, and all they had to do was look around and go, oh, you know, Kazuchika Okada's a star. We want him on our roster. Like, no shit. Congrats. You've signed the best wrestler, like one of the best wrestlers of all time. Like, what a smart signing, you know. Now it feels like, you know, New Japan is struggling, and you've sort of gotten the guys who were big names from elsewhere, generally. And so now the whole thing is like, you've got to have your ear to the ground to know the big things, that it isn't just like, oh, here's the obvious guy that anyone in their right mind would sign.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like they don't have that. I mean, they were bad previously on the women's side.
Yes.
They've missed a lot of people that I think would have helped early on. I think they've sort of righted that ship in many ways, helped by signing Mercedes Moné. Again, an obvious signing.
Yeah.
I think any company on earth would have said, hey, should we sign Mercedes Moné? I think we should. And it's, like I said, I think Suri is a top 10 worker regardless of gender.
Yes, 100%. And I think you could go top 5. Top 3.
But you're thinking about, I mean, who else is on that list? Like, who else is in the top 10? Someone else. A male.
Osprey.
No, who's not in AEW?
Oh, the big dog, Roman Reigns.
Sure. I was trying to think of, like, not a WWE person, but we'll go with Roman Reigns. Whatever. Roman Reigns quits WWE, I guess. Oh, he's going to come in. You're not putting him on Ring of Honor.
No.
I would put $1 million on that. He's going to debut on the big show. And the whole thing is, it's this cyclical thing of, well, we can't put her on the main show. No one knows who she is. And they won't care. You know what they'll care? When she gets in that ring and she starts kicking the shit out of someone.
And that is perfect, because this match, like, the first half was kind of just a standard match. It was fine. And then they started kicking the shit out of each other. And you see the crowd, like, you can see the crowd, individual people start reacting as though, like, oh, wait, hold on. This is a good match. What the fuck? And it's the most rowdy I've ever heard a Ring of Honor crowd that wasn't, like, for the pay-per-views. It was just like a regular part of the TV show where people were reacting and the crowd was super into it. And by the end, everyone knew who Sari was and thought, she's fucking awesome.
I mean, the same thing happened when I went to the taping. And they had Mizuki on Dark back when they used to be Dark. She showed up. They did not promote anything about her. She was the champion at the time. And she got no reaction coming out. And by the end of the match, she was doing all this crazy stuff. And people were like, oh, reacting. I'm like, yes, it's that easy. Just, like, let them go on TV and do this.
Yeah.
Like, you have a title match. It's not even like, oh, she's just a random woman. She's a title holder.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this person is coming and she wants to defend her title against the best in AEW. Whoop, that's the easy story. It just very much, the whole thing annoys me. I think the not knowing, not being plugged into the scene has plagued this company on the women's side since they started.
Absolutely.
They've gotten, you know, Toni Storm, that's an obvious signee. Mercedes Moné, and they're very good, and they have helped the division. I would say, other than that, like, the great signees that they have made are Statlander.
Yeah.
And question mark. Like, I guess I'm not watching that frequently, but I guess Tekla is doing well.
Yes, she's actually sort of doing very well and has adapted to American TV wrestling incredibly well.
But again, that's like a stardom, you know.
Yeah.
She's not getting plucked from nowhere, and it's like, wow, what a good read you made on this person. You know, I guess Queen Aminata was a good pickup. But anyway, yeah. It annoys me that, you know, the TV, what I've watched of it over the past few months has become so perfunctory. And this is the type of thing they used to do. It's like when Vikingo came in and wrestled Omega. He was this random guy who was really good. And they put him on the TV, and they put him against a good opponent, and he had a great match, and people were like, whoa, holy shit. And for some reason, they're like, we won't do that with women.
And that is, like, that one is absolutely the first domino to WWE buying AAA.
Well, yes, I guess in the end, that specific scenario maybe turned out to be more bad than good.
Well, but even then, when it's like, that was such a big deal that it turned into this major wrestling event.
Yeah, and people complained, oh, we don't know who this guy is. You know, it's like,
who gives a shit?
Who cares? You watch TV shows and characters walk in.
Yeah.
And, oh, I'm a new character. And people don't go, oh, I've been watching this show for a season and this guy is new. I don't know him.
Every week I would watch House and the new patient would walk in and I'd say, I don't know who this guy is. And I would turn off the TV.
And it's like, you know who it is? Or you know what people should be thinking? You know, AEW should be bringing in the best, Seri, they should be wrestling.
Yeah.
Getting other good names. And then the idea is, you may not know them, but AEW knows them, and AEW has their ear to the ground, and so you know, if they're showing up on TV, they're going to bring it.
I was honestly all right with it when I was like, you know what? Maybe they are, like, let's put something into Ring of Honor. Let's try and get the Joshi Sickos to get a month of Honor Club and see what happens. And I respected that, and that it was just like, nah, we're just gonna put the match on YouTube. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, because I think people have been like, we're not buying Honor Club. Like,
yeah,
it's not happening. So anyway, but Kelly, you watched the match. I actually didn't watch the match.
Yes, the match was awesome. I went 4.25 on it. Well worth your time on watching for free on the Ring of Honor YouTube.
We've now talked about Ring of Honor for 10 minutes during the stardom portion of the show.
We've talked more about Ring of Honor than Tony has talked to anyone about Ring of Honor in years.
But anyway, back to actual stardom. They had a Corican Hall just a little bit ago on the 11th in front of 1,376 fans, so a little bit down from their last show. This show, I think, clearly was definitely a lesser Corican for them, so the number makes sense. I thought overall the show was fine. I think it's a show that if you missed or if you skipped, your world would not change or end. Top three were all solid. I saw some people who really liked Hazuki defeating Koguma for the CMLL Japan women's title. I liked it. I thought it was solid, but I went like 3.5, maybe would have gone 3.75.
That's where I was, and that's one of those where it's like, that's a solid score, but for those two, it's disappointing.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, it's not the main event. Like, it made sense, but it was sort of like, okay, this match is fine. You know, the main event was the Goddesses of Stardom title match, Tora and Ruaka retaining the tag titles against Ami Sorey and Lady C. A match it's got the hate stuff in it. It was sort of whatever. Itsuki Aoki and Rina Yamashita coming out at the end to challenge. I have to say, I also saw Aoki was on the show earlier in a match teaming with her Mi Vida Loca compatriots. She is someone like, when she was in the indies and was sort of like the flavor of the year, when it's like, oh, here's a new person who can challenge for every single title that exists in the independents, it was like, ah, whatever, she's average. Now that she's in Stardom, I'm sort of like, I don't want to see this. It's like, Rina, great. I like Rina, very good. Happy to see that. I'm like, ah, Tsuki Aoki, Stardom main events. You know, maybe it's not a main event. But I'm just sort of like, ah, no, thank you.
She definitely feels like the last person they decided on for that group, where they're like, fuck, we need to fill one more space. And then they just looked outside and saw her and they're like, sure. All right.
It feels like someone who they were like, ah, we're going out and finding people. And it was like, oh, this, we know this person is willing to lose.
Yeah.
You know, they have Akira in the group, but it's like, okay, if we need to have bigger matches like this tag team match, it's like Aoki will lose. She won't have a problem with losing because she does it a lot. You know, Bozilla is not going to lose. I'm sure Rina is like, I'm not coming in here to lose all the time.
Rina's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm the Super Asia champion. I ain't taking pins.
I've wrestled in GCW, brother.
Yeah.
I've been not going to work for me.
An acclaimed champion in GCW.
Yeah. But it's just one of those things where she was so all over the place. I think she has the same problem like you, I have with you, which is,
yeah,
that, like, what was that, 4 or 5 years ago? Like, every promotion just had everywhere. You on every show. And you're just like, ah, I don't want to see you anymore.
You know who they should replace Itsuki Aoki with? Jun Kasai.
Sure.
I think that would make the unit much better and very interesting.
It would. It really would be very a very interesting unit. But yeah, Kelly, do you have any thoughts about any of these matches, this show?
Not really. It was, what I saw was fine. Like, it was just a, it was a whatever show.
Yeah. I mean, the great thing now is that, you know, these Cork and Hall shows are up very fast because I didn't watch this live.
Yeah, that's, you know, very nice.
Just remembering when it used to be like, well, we'll see this in a week and a half when it really won't matter. So nice to see that. You
but
know,
don't worry,
easy.
We subtitled the promos before each match where they just come out and say, I'm going to win, and then they go wrestle.
I'm going to fight hard.
Yep.
To win the match. Oh, I got a time limit draw.
Oh, hang on. We also need to clip every match out, put the promos in there, and then make it, there's no one big video file, so you have to keep clicking to watch each match.
You know, whatever floats some people's boats. What else has happened in the last 2 weeks in Joshi? Seedling had a show on the 4th of October. That had a Beyond the Sea tag title match, Mio Shirai and Natsu Sumire retaining against Amazon and Yuri. And Saeeda and Hazuki were both on that show as well. I think it drew like 700-something.
Damn.
So good for them. Although I think it may have been part of something else. But anyway, Tokyo Joshi also had a show on the 4th of October. They are now running their rookie tournament for this year. In the opening round, Uta Takami defeated Ren Kanatsu. Kira Summer defeated Chika Nanase. But what happens in this tournament is that the winners move on to face each other. That happened on the 12th. Uta Takami defeated Kira Summer, and the losers went on to face each other. So in that match, Chika Nanase defeated Ren Kanatsu. So Kanatsu is out fully. And now Kira Summer will wrestle Chika Nanase again. And the winner will face Uta to determine the winner of the tournament.
Okay, I like that. That's like a double knockout. That's cool.
Yeah. I had to like sort of look at it for a little bit and be like, what? But it's pretty clear. I mean, it's a little tournament. I think now that they've moved some people out, you know, I think they needed more than just, hey, we're going to have three matches
yeah
in this tournament. So that makes sense. Diana had a show on the 5th of October, two title matches. Kyoko Inoue retaining the Elizabeth title, defeating Tomoko Watanabe and Yuki Miyazaki, the soon-to-be retiring Yuki Miyazaki. And the tag team titles were successfully defended by Ayako Sato and Debbie Keitel, who defeated Haruka Umasaki and Unagi Sayaka for those. Kelly, I know there's also Choco Pro action that's been happening in the last 2 weeks.
There was. On the 5th, they ran their show New Dawn that was main evented with a Super Asia title match. Rina Yamashita successfully defending against Antonio Honda. This was really fun. And it was kind of, you know, just your typical Antonio Honda match in the first third or so. But then they really turned it up and it was a really solid match. And Honda showed, you know, he's actually a good worker. So I enjoyed this quite a bit. I went 4 stars. One of my favorite parts came in the post-match where they, you know, they have like the GM, she comes out and kind of explains like, hey, here's what we're doing in the next shows. And then people cut promos and stuff. And Antonio Honda's talking about his loss. And he's like talking about how he wants to get booked for Emi Sakura's 30th anniversary show. And it wouldn't be Choco Pro without him. And he's like, you know, these people, they'll be chanting my name. And he kind of leaves a beat there for the crowd to start chanting his name. And it's just crickets. And he looks at the crowd and goes, come on, you guys used to be better at reading a room. He's like, wait, what? We're in a bigger venue and you get nervous? We're going back to the regular place. So I was like, right. And then he tries to do it again. And then they it's silence again, and he kind of motions and they start chanting. He's like, okay, good. Finally. It was very funny.
Well, that's all that happened in the last 2 weeks of Joshi. Pretty quiet, but not the next 2 weeks. We got a lot going on. You know, the ups and downs of the Joshi schedule. Stardom has a lot going on, although the first thing, again, we're going to start the Stardom category talking about not Stardom. Tomorrow, I think by the time this show is released,
it'll have happened already.
Yes, King of Pro Wrestling is happening. New Japan's King of Pro Wrestling. Seri will defend the IWGP Women's title against Suri. Kelly, why is this happening?
I honestly think it's happening because New Japan wants to sell tickets. And from what I've heard, King of Pro Wrestling is not doing well. So they may just be throwing everything they have and just like, look, these fucking Stardom shows are selling well. Maybe some of their fans will come to our show, put a title match on there. So that's my guess. Maybe Siri's like, hey, this rich American man's going to pay me a lot of money. I need to lose this title. And so I can go be on their TV show on Wednesday. That could be the case, too.
Kelly, Ring of Honor is on Thursday.
Ah, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, I can't decide. I did hear that King of Pro Wrestling is not doing well. So it could be that. Just feels very quick for her to be like, I'm not defending against you. I've got some things I need to do.
Yeah.
And then be like, oh, just kidding. I will.
I did those things. Let's have a match.
Yeah. I wanted matches in America. I only got one, but that was satisfactory for me. I've returned. Too much America for me.
I went back to America, remembered what it was like. No thanks. Yeah.
America is not a great place to be right now, so I'll come right back. Stardom also has the next New Blood, another New Blood, New Blood 25, happening on the 17th. Also, tangentially related, I guess, to Stardom, Starlight Kid's 10th anniversary show will be happening on the 20th of October. I don't believe any full matches have been announced for that yet, but the main event will have Starlight Kid teaming with El Desperado and Dragon Kid.
That's cool.
Which sounds fun. Hopefully they have good opponents. And hopefully they've got some other good matches, because that sounds like it could be fun.
Okay, what's the worst trio we can come up with them to wrestle?
I have two of them. I have two of them, and I'm trying to think of a third. Oh, okay. I have it.
Okay.
The trio of Sakura Hirota, whatever the hell Ikemenjiro goes by now, Kurushio, Tokyo, Japan, and one of the Brahmins. Not both, just one.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's better than anything I could come up with. I had Natsuko Tora. Who sucks in New Japan at the moment? Brenda Rita.
I don't watch it, so I don't know.
I think he's annoying, right? Or no, Dick Togo. There we go. And why not? And Gato. Dick Togo, Gato, and Tora.
Now I'm trying to think of another. So if it's got to be... Well, now I'm thinking it's got to be one woman and two men.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Who's really at the bottom of... I have one of the men.
Like, you could do...
I can't think of another one. Who's a New Japan person?
Who I would like, a decent team like would actually be, like, Sayahida, Togi Makabe, and someone else that's kind of big to fight all
these other guys. Yeah, that would be fun. Okay. I need to think of a Joshi.
Or Suzu Suzuki, Jun Kasai...
No, I mean, and that's good.
I know. Now I'm thinking of good teams.
Oh, I'm still on the bad.
And who could wrestle like as the Dragon Kid fill-in? Who's the guy that normally teams with Kasai that takes the pins? Dragon Libre. There we go.
Oh.
Designated pin eater.
Who... it could be a It could be a rare, limited... crossover, and it could be Starlight Kid, El Desperado, and Dragon Kid versus Rey Seto, and Helico, and Evil. There we go. Like, or you just team, like, you just think of, like, Starlight Kid, who is the opposite and bad of Starlight Kid? Like, who, Dragon Kid, who is a really big young guy who's bad. Although, you know, big, it might be good. You could base, so maybe a small, you know.
Yeah, you know, actually I don't think Angelico can make it. He's busy doing Spanish commentary, so we got Facade to come in.
Oh god. who's the flight attendant with Top Flight?
Layla Gray.
Layla Gray and the Acclaimed.
There we go.
Are they back together?
Yes, but they're not happy about it.
Oh, okay. I thought I saw they were back together.
Yeah, anyway, they're back together and upset.
Anyway, we hope it's some good people. I mean, like Azumi, Jun Kasai, and Ben K. I don't know.
Sure. That sounds awesome.
There's a one-to-one.
Yeah.
Although, who's taking the pin? I don't know.
Time limit draw.
Time limit draw. That's right. What else is going on in Joshi? Well, Oz has their biggest show of the year, their big fall show coming up at Yokohama Budokan. The card is as follows. We'll open with Jaguar Yokota, Momoka Hanazono, and Mei Tsuruga teaming to take on Emi Sakura, Tsubasa Kurigaki, and Kohaku. A three-way match. Whew. Kiori Yonayama against Ram Kaichou against Kuroshio, Tokyo, Japan. Eee.
Yeah, you could have just looked down and seen that.
I know. Yeah, there's the three. I found them. Rina Yamashita will take on Unagi Sayaka. They've been having a big back and forth. Sona Kokato, Ryo Mizunami, and Itsuki Aoki will team up to face Dash Chizako, Chihiro Hashimoto, and Mika Iwata, Team Sendai Girls. The tag titles will be defended. Hiroyo Matsumoto and Zones will defend against Akino and Misa Kagura. And the big main event will be Mayumi Ozaki, Yumi Oka, Sayori no Sho with their second Maya Yukii facing off against Hate, Natsuko Tora, Saya Kamatani, Ruaka, and Rina with their seconds, Konami and Momo Watanabe. It is an elimination match. All interference is legal unless it presents danger, I think, is the...
What does that even mean?
Reading, like, unless it presents imminent danger or something like that. Hold on, let me find it. Let me find that translation that I... That poor translation that I had.
So is this going to be like the Dragon Gate Dead or Alive matches where it's just them, like, shooting volleyballs at each other and they're like, that's not completely dangerous?
The match starts with 4-on-4, and it is elimination rule in which you can be pinned, submit, or be knocked out to be eliminated from the match. The losers are bound by handcuffs outside the ring, and the match continues until either team is completely destroyed. In addition, all violations... Well, I'm reading this translation, which I think is not quite accurate. All violations, comma, the use of the murder weapon and the intervention of the diva are permitted in this match, except when the referee deems it particularly dangerous. Mai Yukihi, Konami, and Momo Watanabe will second as the divas. And then, of course, the stipulation is if Ozaki-gun wins, they get the belt back. And if Hate wins, Mayumi Ozaki joins Hate as the lowest ranking member. So that is that. So, of course, look out for, quote, the murder weapon and the divas.
The murder weapon is police.
Folks, the divas are back.
I am so excited about that match.
They are back. So that, of course, the big show that Oz has every year. So that will be big. And I'm sure the main event will be crazy and notable, as they usually are. Also, Tokyo Joshi has a Korakuen Hall show on the 18th. That show will have... They're doing a best of three series with the rookies... Uda, Haru, and Shino. At this show, Uda will take on Shoko Nakajima, Haru will take on Mizuki, and Shino will take on Miyu Yamashita. There will be a first-time singles match, Yuki Arai versus Hyper Masao. The International Princess title will be on the line as Ariso Endo will make her first defense against Big Al.
Big Alice Al.
Crowley. They had a picture of them yesterday. Arisu is so small that I think Alice is like 5'8" and looks very large next to her. The princess tag titles will be on the line. Uber Eats, the new champions, Yuki Kamifuku and Wakana Uehara will face off against Yuna, Manase, and Toga. And then the main event, another first-time defense, Miyu Watanabe, her second reign as Princess of Princess Champion, will start with a defense against Yuki Aino. Kelly, do you think we're going to get any title changes here?
I would like to see Yuna, Manase, and Toga win.
I think that's probably the only likely one.
Yeah.
To switch. I don't think Miyu's losing, and I don't think Ariso is losing, unless I guess Alice is going to stick around. But it should be a good show. They also have a special five-way match to open the show where the rules will be announced at a later date. That's Raku, Pamhirajuku, Mihiro Kiryu, the current Iron Man Heavy Metalweight Champion, I believe, as of the time of recording.
Yeah, Suzume. She lost the title to the contract for the match at, or something at one point and then won it back.
Yes, but then the contract was pinned by a water bottle. Or
that
something,
right.
Some type of drink bottle, and then she pinned the drink bottle.
Yeah.
We have to get the results right. We have to show respect. Marigold has some big things coming up. They have a Korakuen Hall show, which is going to be streamed for free on YouTube. That is happening on the 13th. So I believe will have happened by the time this episode comes out again. That will have Mirai's last match for the company. We'll have some previews for their big show, and we'll have Mayu Iwatani defending the super flyweight title against Sari Yamaoka. And then, of course, Marigold Grand Destiny will be on October 26th. The card is Kazuna Tanaka will take on Shino. There will be a gauntlet tag team match with a bunch of teams. Two singles matches with the Rossi special of not announcing who they'll be in order to not reveal that the card is not very good.
You know what they should do just as a swerve? Those two people are against each other. It's not two matches. It's just one.
It will be Megaton. I believe Megaton is going against M, and Chika Goda is going against S, I think is what it is. They're not X's, because that, of course, would be boring.
Yes.
No, they're M and S. Someone did suggest Sakura Hirota, and yep. I would just like to say out loud, please don't do that. Then there will be the Marigold Twin Star title match. The champions Magenta, Maria, and Riko Kawahata will defend against Darkness Revolution, Chiaki, and Misa Matsui. A fun singles match. Chihiro Hashimoto will take on Sari Yamaoka.
That could be awesome.
That could be very good. Mai Sakurai will defend the United National title against Victoria Yuzuki, who seemingly only wrestles in title matches in this company, and nothing else. The Marigold World title, Utami will defend against Miko Aono, hoping Miku wins.
I think
it feels like she should.
She should absolutely win.
And then the main event, of course, more important than anything going on in Marigold, who really cares? Io Sky will face off against Mayu Iwatani. Of course, another big Marigold show where no one is popular enough to main event over this special attraction match. I mean, there's like three or four matches I'm sure will be very good on this show.
Yeah.
The Iyu Mayu, Utami Miku, Chihiro Sari. I mean, depending, I guess, on the X's. I mean, the Megaton match will be bad, but...
Maybe they'll bring back Tank.
Oh, God. Maybe they'll bring in the other Tank, and your wishes will finally come true. And then you'll become a big Marigold head.
I would be so happy if they did that, because it would be terrible. Like, it would be worst match of the year, bar none. Yeah. But it would make me laugh.
Ice Ribbon has another Corican Hall show coming up. Their two previous Corican Hall shows this year have been the lowest attended Corican Hall shows of all promotions. So
let's see if they can set another record.
Hopefully this one will break it. And I hate to say, it's all going to depend on one person, because I'm about to read this card and you'll know who I'm talking about. There will be a wrestler coming over from, I guess, New Jersey, who I've never heard of, called Sammy Chaos.
Oh, I thought that was like the name of the show.
Oh, no, that's the name of a wrestler. Sammy Chaos. I'm like, that's a fun name. Karara Wakana will have her seventh trial match against Maya Yukihi. That's a big match there. And then two title matches, Manami Katsu and Misa Kagura against Kahu Matsushita and Ibuki Hoshi for the Ice Ribbon tag titles. And then the Ice Infinity title will be the champion Manami Katsu defending against Ibuki Hoshi. So Ibuki Hoshi in both the semi-main and main event.
Well, and so Manami Katsu too.
Yes. So if this show draws, it's credit to the two of them.
I thought I was losing my mind at first when I was looking at those graphics.
Yeah, I was like, oh, it's good that they're main eventing with Ibuki because she seems like a draw. And then I was like, wait a minute. He's also in this match. So I guess we'll see what happens. And Kelly, then what is coming up in Chaco Pro?
This is a little bit of an early preview. We'll talk more about this card next episode as more is announced. But They are really stacking the Emi Sakura 30th anniversary show Cult Heroin on the 30th. Three matches announced so far, and they're all pretty great. Masato Tanaka and Hayabusa versus Bali Anaki and Chris Brooks. If you are just a Joshi fan, no, they did not raise Hayabusa from the dead. There is a new Hayabusa out there, and I've heard he's pretty good. Also on that show will be Mia Yatsuba versus Riho and Mei Suruga versus Azumi. So we still haven't gotten an announcement of what Emi is doing on the show or if Rina Yamashita will be defending her title. So there's still quite a bit to be announced, but looking at what we've got so far, this show could be pretty awesome.
And that is everything coming up in the next 2 weeks of Joshi. So we will have plenty to talk about on the next episode of Jumping Bomb Audio. But before we leave this one, of course, have to throw it over to Kelly for Kelly's Corner.
Last night, I started playing the Switch 2 upgrade for the Switch 1 game, Kirby and the Forgotten Land. With the Switch 2 upgrade, I guess it looks a little better. I don't know. It looks the same to me. But you also get some new story stuff. So it's been fun to play through. I really enjoyed that game the first time around. So I'm happy to have more.
Well, there you go. A pretty straightforward recommendation from Kelly.
Yeah, yeah, no, nothing. You don't have to do anything weird. You just got to go fire up your Switch eShop.
Well, there you go. And that is all for us on this episode of Jumping Bomb Audio. But we will be back, of course, with you in another 2 weeks' time to talk even more Joshi action. So until then, farewell and see you later.
Goodbye, everybody.
Hey, kids. Jeff Hawkins from Shake Them Ropes here. And for almost 15 years, we have been part of Voices of Wrestling. Myself and Chris Novembrino give a review of that week's news, the lazy river of wrestling criticism of that week's WWE and AEW, and then Vader Club, where we watch something from one of our past or something we may have missed. Smart, snarky, and sometimes serious, but not always. That's us, and if that's your vibe, we'd love to have you listen to Shake Them Ropes every week on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.